we're holding on Kofi Zion, Ahmed Aleph, the second line. We started talking about yesterday about the division of land between brothers. We said typically it's done with a girdle, and once the girdle has established one brother's portion, then that's that as far as all the others. And we talked about what happens if they divided it up and then another brother comes, how we redivide it. So now in this connection, the Gemara continues. Itmar, Achan Shechol.
Where are we, Alexander?
Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, second line. So now the Gemara continues. Itmar, Achan Shechoku, if brothers divided up the property. Now, the Rashbam points out that the most straightforward way to understand the following piece of Gemara would be that there are two brothers, but the same din really would apply if there are three or more. There are actually a number of Rishonim who actually have the Girsa explicitly, Shloisha Achan Shechoku, that it's primarily talking about three brothers. In any case, so the brothers divided up the property. Now, somebody to whom their father owed money came and took the entire property or part of the property that belonged to one of them. So what do we do now in order that he should get his fair share? All of them, after all, were supposed to be on the hook to pay off that debt. Now, Tosfos points out that in a regular case, we would, to begin with, say that the Baal Choyv has to collect from all of them equally. We're actually going to have something about that in the next parak. So Tosfos explains that here we're talking about the field that this particular brother got had been designated as an aposiki. Now, in various places in Shas, when we talk about an aposiki, so an aposiki is a field that's related to a word for mortgage in various languages. It also stands for the Aramaic expression apoy tehei kayam, the debt should stand on this. So, and there's two kinds of aposiki. You have the kind where he says that this is the primary vehicle by which the debt is going to be paid off. So if I want, in other words, I'm still leaving myself the option open to pay you with money instead. But should it happen that you end up taking land, then this is going to be the land that you take. Or you can have the kind of aposiki which is it must be this land. There's a lien davka on this land and nothing else. So Tosfos points out, we're not talking about the second kind, because here in the Gemara we're going to be discussing whether it would have been possible for him to pay off the debt with money, and with that second kind of aposiki, by definition you can't. So it's talking about the first kind. So he inherited a property which there is an aposiki on, and therefore now the Baal Chov comes and collects it from him, which he had the right to do. Nonetheless, if that brother had had money, he would have been able to pay him off with money instead, which is going to be a point that the Gemara is going to make in the discussion over here. That's according to Tosfos. Other Rishonim give different explanations of why it is, again, that the Baal Chov is collecting davka from this brother. The Ritva gives an answer that we've learned in other places that a Baal Chov normally collects from Beninis, but when it comes to collecting from Yisoimim, he can only collect from Ziburis. So the case would be over here that this brother received the Ziburis land, and therefore that the Baal Chov is collecting from him. And then the Ran gives an explanation that in fact we are talking about Beninis over here, and he got the Beninis. So you could say that when you have the Gemara in Bava Kamma, where this whole discussion also comes up, the Gemara explains over there that if one brother had taken land and the other one had taken only money instead, then when the one's land is taken by the Baal Chov, the Gemara says over there there's no right to be compensated by the other brother, for the other brother can say, you know what, I dafka didn't take the land, so that the Baal Chov shouldn't take it from me. Whereas over here, we're talking about the fact is that each of them did get land over here as well, and it so happens he took the Benini, so the question is, should he be compensated by his brothers? So several different explanations, in short, of why it is that the Baal Chov Davka ended up collecting from this one brother rather than collecting put piece rather than collecting partially from each one of them. Anyway, Rav Amar Batla Machlokas. So Rav says, similar to the previous Machlokas about when an extra brother, when an extra brother shows up, that the whole division is void. We have to start the whole division process all over again, because now that this brother got this land taken away from him to pay off a chayv, which after all of them were supposed to be on the hook for, then therefore we should say that it's not right, and therefore we have to start the division all over again. Ushmul Amar Viter. Shmuel says, on the other hand, he lost out. Shmuel says, in other words, basically, tough luck. Before we analyze Shmuel's opinion, let's analyze Rav's a little bit. Tosfos points out that we're talking about over here, that the Gemara is going to explain that Rav holds that they're considered like Yorshim, whereas Shmuel is going to hold that they're considered more like buyers. So as Yoshim, they were all supposed to be on the hook to pay off this debt. Tosfos says the point is that Rav is going to say that they're like Yoshim. Rav Asi, whose opinion we're going to talk about soon, is also going to hold that, the point is Tosfos points out that on the face of it, if there is money available, then he'd be able to buy back the field. So what's the problem? Why appoint a rav? Batla machlokas. Let's just have each of the other brothers give some money towards buying back the field, and then he can buy back the field from the malva, and that's that. And the answer is, Tosfos says that, let's say, for example, the malva turned around and gave it and sold it to somebody else, or bequeathed it as a Yerusha to somebody else, where they are therefore now it's irrevocable and we can't get it back. So now, therefore, Rav says, so therefore, given that they're Yoshim, we have to undo the entire division and start all over again. Otherwise, it comes out that one brother has lost all of his estate for a chayv that all of them should have had to pay. Anyway, that's Rav. Ushmuel Amar Viter. Shmuel says he's forfeited, meaning tough luck, basically. He doesn't get anything back from his brothers, as we're going to explain soon why Shmuel would hold that. Rav Asi says a third explanation. And by the way, in Shas, you have Rabbi Asi. You have often Rav Ami and Rav Asi, Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan. But you also have occasionally Rav Asi, who was a chaver of Rav and Shmuel. We find him in connection with Rav and Shmuel in different places in Shas. One example, actually, is we find him where back in Bava Kamma, we had a story involving Rav and Shmuel and him all coming to a bris or a pidyon aben or some simcha like that, and a story that happened over there. He was a chaver of Rav and Shmuel. Anyway, so Rav Asi Omar, noto revia b'karka or revia b'mois. Rav Asi says, he gets one quarter of the karka, or one quarter of the money. Meaning, in other words, Rav Asi is taking kind of a middle ground, as the Gemara is going to explain soon why he holds that way. So we don't undo the whole division like Rav, so that he should get an exact portion equal to his brothers after this. On the other hand, we're not going to say Viter like Shmuel, that he forfeits entirely. Rather, what we do is he'll be entitled to not a half of the other brother's karka, but a quarter. Or his brothers will give him a quarter of the amount of the value of the field that he had to give away to the Baal Chayv. And the point is, the Rashbam says, he could say, you know what, the other brothers can say, you know what, why'd you allow him to take that field? Yes, it was an Aposiki, but after all, as Tosfos had said, it was the kind of Aposiki where you could have paid him off money instead, and therefore, the other brothers can say, we shouldn't have to give you of our land to compensate for it, but we can give you money for it. So even though the Rashbam points out, even though the expression is revia b'karka or revia b'mois, where the vav usually means and, it can mean or. We have other examples of that in Shas. So it means that it's one or the other. Further down on the Amud, that Rashbam brings a different explanation from Rashi on the sugya in Bava Kamma. which says that it means that that it's both. It is, the vav does mean, and he gets back everything that he gave away to the Baal Chayv, but he gets part of it in land, and the rest they're entitled to pay him in money. And the Rashbam discusses that opinion of Rashi. Tosfos also here a little bit and more in Bava Kamma deals in more detail with that svara. And then whether we're saying that he's entitled, according to Rashbam's explanation over here, it means that this brother is not going to get back all of what he gave away, only one quarter of it, whereas for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain soon, whereas according to Rashi's explanation, he is getting back everything that he gave away, but he's getting part of it but not all of it in terms of land. Some of it he's getting money. Anyway, those are the three opinions. So again, according to the Rashbam, then we're saying that he gets back only part of what he paid, and according to Rashi, he is getting back all of it. So let's explain the three opinions. Rav on a bottle machlokas kasavar, because Rav holds ha'achan shechoku yoshin hein. When the brothers divide up the estate, they're considered like yoshim for this purpose and for many other purposes. And as yoshim, they were all responsible to pay back their father's debt. In fact, Rav also holds, the Rashbam adds, Rav holds yesh breira. You have the concept of Breira, as we have throughout Shas, that each one of them, when he gets his portion, it means that retroactively that was supposed to be his portion all along. So it comes out, therefore, that neither one took a portion that was, that you can't say that each one of them should have been entitled to that portion and now in the end he did. No, they're considered like Yoshim, and all of them were equally responsible to pay back the debt. Well, therefore, so now that one of them ended up having to pay it on behalf of all of them, then Bokla Machloikas, then we have to redivide the land, taking that into consideration. Otherwise, in other words, if we consider them like buyers, then instead we would say that it would be buyers, then it would be different. That's Shmuel's svara. So Shmuel, I'm a vitter, kasavar ha'achan shechoku l'kuchasavu. He holds that when brothers divide up the property, it's considered like they bought from each other. In effect, we would say, in other words, like this, it should have been that, it could have been equally well that Reuven is going to get this field and Shimon is going to get that one. Instead, it turned out that Reuven got, so it could have been, for example, Reuven could have had the north field and Shimon the south one. In the end, it was the other way around. Reuven got the south field based on the goral or whatever, based on what they decided. And Shimon the north one. Nevertheless, Shmuel holds for this and for many other purposes in halacha that the brothers are considered like they bought it from one another. In other words, the Rashbam adds, Shmuel holds ein breira, which this point of whether there's breira or not when it comes to dividing up an inheritance does have implications as far as other areas in halacha. For example, in Gittin, the Gemara talks about if they're considered lekuchas, then when it comes yovel, we know that fields that were bought have to be returned in yovel. So then it would mean that they would be required to redivide the land in yovel. Whereas if we say that they're considered like Yoshim, then it wouldn't be necessary to. So this machlokas bears on that and bears on various other issues in halacha. Anyway, so Shmuel says they're considered like lekuchas, and the Rashbam adds they'd be considered like lekuchas without achrayos. It's one thing when a person buys, well, it's one thing when a person buys land. We have the discussion in various places in Shas whether if land was bought without achrayus, whether it's considered that it was bought with achrayus anyway, and therefore that there was, and therefore that the seller is responsible to compensate him. But that's what Rashbam points out. That's when you're buying something where you put out good money. So then you're going to say a person is not going to put out money to buy something without having some kind of guarantee that he's going to get, that he's going to get compensated for it. But here nobody put out any money because after all we're talking about a Yerusha. So Shmuel can well say that he's considered as though he bought without achrayus, and therefore Tosfos is going to say, therefore Shmuel is going to say tough luck, he loses out. Tosfos in Bava Kamma points out another point as well, that even if we consider them like Lekuchas v'Achrayus, then according to Rav, we would have said that they could give him money. Whereas over here, Rav is saying Batal Machorkas, that the whole division is Batal. So therefore, Rav can't even hold that he's like he bought with Achrayus. Rav necessarily has to hold they're completely like Yoshim. Again, that's according to the Rashbam, and that's according to Tosfos. The Rashbam discusses further down when we talk about Rashi's understanding of the matter in Bava Kamma and the understanding of the three opinions over here, where basically the machlokes would be, are they considered like lekuchos v'achrayus or not? Anyway, so Shmuel's going to say bitter kosavar va'achem shecholku lekuchos havu. He holds the brothers when they divide up are considered like buyers, like as if they bought from one another. So therefore, it's considered like they bought without achrayus. And the same way as in an ordinary case, when Reuven sells a field to Shimon, shaloi b'achrayus, Shmuel in fact holds in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that when you don't write achrayus, then we don't say achrayus tos sofer. We say that you didn't write achrayus. Well, that's that then. Then you're not entitled to it. The halacha is not like that. But nevertheless, that's one point that we show him make over here that Shmuel can hold. The Yad Ramah points out that Shmuel himself holds that if you don't buy with Achrayus, then tough luck. We don't say Achrayus tos sofahu. So fine, Shmuel would be going according to that shita. But again, the Rashbam points out another way of looking at it is, in any case, even if we said that when it comes to buying, we would say that there's always Achrayus unless explicitly specified otherwise. But here, by Yerusha, would be different. Anyway, so that's the thing. So Shmuel says in the Gemara in Bava Kamma that Achrayus is not Tos Sofer, meaning if there's no Achrayus written in a Shtar, then there's no Achrayus, and that's that. So therefore, Shmuel would be consistent with that opinion, says the Yad Ramah. On the other hand, the Rashbam is saying you don't even have to say that, really. Even if you say that normally there is Achrayus, whether it's written in the Shtar or not, that would be when you're buying, when you're paying money, as opposed to over here, it's Yoshin. Anyway. So therefore, so Shmuel is saying, so the same way, again, if Reuven were to sell a field to Shimon without Achrayus, then if Baal Chov comes and takes it away from Shimon, then tough luck. So the same way, Shmuel says the same thing is going to hold true over here. The same thing is going to hold true over here. Yeah, it is.
Seriously?
Yes, I'm saying. So the same thing would hold true over here, which is why Shmuel says Vitter. What about Rav Asi? So Rav Asi, the reason why he takes a middle ground is because he has a suffix whether they're considered, which opinion should we follow, Rav or Shmuel? Should we say they're like Yoshim, and therefore he'd be entitled to compensation for half of what he paid? So again, this is why the Rashbam says the most straightforward way of understanding the Gemara over here is to say that there were two brothers, because that explains why he's entitled to half. Because after all, he should have paid half the debt, and the other one should have paid the other half. Again, the same din will apply with other percentages, with a different number of brothers. But this is why the Rashbam said at the beginning, it's most straightforward to understand that we're talking about two brothers. So Rav Asi is saying, well, I don't know, are they considered like Yoshim, and therefore each of them should have paid half, or are they considered like Lekuchos, and then like Shmuel says, then he wouldn't get anything. So therefore, we split the difference.
He wouldn't because he bought without Achrayus.
And then without Achrayus, then he's not entitled to compensation.
They receive of the thing. Okay.
Yeah. So therefore, Hilkoch, note to Revia Bakarko, Revia Bamos. So therefore, Therefore, we're going to say so. So we're going to say Momen Amuto B'Sofet Chokin. We're going to say that we divide it because of that Sofet. Postus elsewhere points out what happens to the matter of Chazaka. Why don't we say that the other brother is Muchzik over there, and therefore that the other brother is Muchzik in his portion, and therefore we should say that Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya. So Tosfos in Bava Kamma points out that, that one thing is that the one consideration is basically whether Tosfos just says in Bava Kamma, it's not shayach to say over here, Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya, and various achronim explain why that should be. One point is the Maharam makes over there that the suffix really doesn't come because of the tainus, it's an inherent suffix. So therefore,
it'll have the same time for all.
It'll happen, yeah. So that would be one reason. So that would be one reason to say. And then there are the various other achronim talk about different angles on why that should be. In any case, Rav Asi is saying, therefore, that we have the suffix. So the other brother gives him a quarter of the field that he got, because that would be half of what he paid, or he gives him a quarter of the money, because he could say, you know what, I would have paid off the Baal Chayv with money just because you were poor and you didn't have cash available, and therefore you have to give him the field. Doesn't mean that I have to lose my portion. So that's why he gets either Revia Karka or Revia Morris, according to the Rashbam. Then again, you have the explanation that Rashi gives in Bava Kamma, that it means that he gets both. He gets back everything that he paid out. The point would be, in other words, when we say over here that Rav Asi has a suffix, whether Kiyoshin Damu or Kalakuchus Damu, means we would have the question, not whether he's a Yodish, like, not, in other words, according to the Rashbam's explanation, it comes out Rav Asi's suffix is he a Yodish like Rav, or is he a Lekeach Shaloi Bachrayus like Shmuel? And in that case, then we have to split the difference. A Yodish, he'd be entitled back to half of what he paid, although as a Lekeach Shaloi Bachrayus, he'd be entitled to nothing, like Shmuel said. So therefore, we split the difference, and therefore he gets a quarter. Rashi in Bava Kamma, which the Rashbam is bringing over here, says instead, rather the question is not whether he's like a Lekeach Shaloi Bachrayus. The question is whether he's like a Yodish or like a Lekeach with Achrayus. So therefore, one way or the other, he has to get back half of what he paid, because after all, it's two brothers, and each of them should have been on the hook to pay half of it. So therefore, Rashi learns over there that all it means is that the other brother has to give him of the half that he paid out, that he has to give him, half of it has to be in land. The other half, if he wants, he can give him in money instead.
We're still speaking about the case where there's two brothers and a
sister. We're talking about where there's two brothers and a Baal Chayv came and grabbed the field that belonged to one of them.
The pointy key does also speaks a lot by a woman that gets her.
And of course, if he comes up in a ksuba, it comes up in many places. Okay. In any case, the point is that there's two ways of understanding Rav Asi's suffix. Is it that he's saying that it could be like Rav that they're Yoshim, or it could be like they're Shmuel that they're Lekuchos Shaloi Bachrayus? And then therefore, so he's only getting a quarter of what he paid, one way or the other, either in land or in Mars, that's the Rashbam's explanation, or that the question is whether he's a Yodish or a Lekeach with Achrayus, so one way or the other, he's entitled to full compensation, to half compensation for what he paid out. The only question is, does it have to be in all land, or can it be in all money? And therefore, Rav Asi splits the difference and says that it would be half for half and half, yeah. The Rashbam points out one thing is that one reason to prefer the Rashbam's own explanation, Rashi himself mentions this point as well, is that when we have three opinions on a subject, usually what it means is you have two extremes and then you have someone in the middle. If you say that Rav Asi is saying, I don't know whether like Rav, Yoshim, or Shmuel, Lekuchos Shaloi Bachrayus, then it comes out, yeah, he's taking the middle ground. He might be one, he might be the other. If you say, like Rashi's, if you say, like the explanation we just quoted from Rashi, that Rav Asi is saying the question is whether he's a Yerush or a Lekeach with Achrayus, then that's a third possibility that neither Rav nor Shmuel have brought up, and therefore it's less logical to say that, On the other hand, Tosfos does point out there is, you could say that, the fact is, why do we have to say that Rav Asi is taking a middle ground? So therefore, so Tosfos actually prefers the explanation that Rashi gives in Bava Kamma. Anyway, so those are the three possibilities. So what's the halacha? So Rapapa says in both of these cases, the case that we discussed yesterday about where a third brother shows up, and the case over here where Balchoyv came and collected the field, in both cases Rapapa says the halacha is mekamtzin, meaning like Shmuel. So in the case where the third brother comes, we would say that each of them has to give part of what they took already and give it to the third brother. Again, as we had yesterday, Rashbam versus Tosfos, what Mekamsin means exactly. Does it mean that each of them gives him one of their fields, for example, or does it mean that we make a new girdle and we take into consideration what the results of the original girdle were and adjust things accordingly? And in our case over here, it would mean that in our case, it wouldn't be like Shmuel. In our case over here, it would mean that we wouldn't say Botla Machloikas completely. We would say that we would redivide without a girdle. He would give him half of the field that he originally got, as long as it's worth a fair amount. So we wouldn't say like Rav Botla Machloikas, but we wouldn't say like Shmuel Vitter either. Really, actually, the Papa says a fourth possibility over here, that Mekamtzin in our second case over here of the Baal Chayv would mean that, that Shimon, whose land was taken away by the Baal Chayv, will go to Reuven and say, you know what, look, I lost out because my property was taken by the Baal Chayv, where we should have both paid him off. So therefore, you have to give me half of the field that you had. And the Papa says that would be what we do over here. On the other hand, Amema Oma Botla Machloikas. Amema says, no, we undo the division completely and we start all over again as though there had never been a division at all. So we have to make a new girdle and all of that. The Hilchsa Botla Machloikas and the Halacha in both of these cases is in fact Botla Machloikas. So in the case of the extra brother and in the case of the Baal Chayv, either way, and the Rashbam says another possibility, there could be other possibility as well. Consider, for example, the case where their father had stolen a field and they hadn't known it was stolen, and then they divided up the estate, and then later on, the fellow from whom their father had stolen it goes and takes it back. So then the same thing over here. So there could be all kinds of cases. So in all those cases, we have to start with a new girdle all over again. And the result of that would be, the result of that, by the way, would be that it comes out that the brothers are considered like Yoshim rather than Lekuchas. Now, Tosfos points out, now, first of all, the result of that is if we say that they're Yoshim also means Yesh Brera. And the fact is, in many places in Shas, we say Ein Brera. We say that when it comes to things d'oraisa, we say we don't say brera. We say that what was determined now is not necessarily how it would have been originally. So Tosfos refers over here to what they discuss on this in Gittin. There's a sugya in Gittin on that subject also, whether the brothers are considered like Yoshin or Lekuchas insofar as the dinim of Yovel. And again, as Rashbam said over here, that bears on the question of whether yesh brera or ein brera. So on the one hand, we usually say that ein brera with things d'oraisa, whereas over here we're saying that they're considered like they're considered like Yoshin, and therefore yesh brera. So Tosfos discusses maybe it doesn't mean that they're, so again, Tosfos says maybe even Rav wouldn't hold that they're considered like Yoshim, but rather like Lekuchas Vachrayus. So when we say Yoshim, we mean they're similar to Yoshim in the sense that he's entitled to full compensation. And then Tosfos goes on and discusses that at some length other possibilities over there as far as that and as far as this din with Yovel and other factors that come into play as far as that.
Situation that we find out that it they came he, that they find out later a guy comes to demand his land because the father stole the land.
Mm-hmm.
That was a machlokes. I mean, the machlokes not that argument, but the machlokes that was a division based on falsehood.
That's the point. In other words, that's what Hashanah is saying. In all these cases, therefore the halacha is butla machlokes. The same way. In other words, if they had known that this Baal Choyv is going to take this land from one of them, then you wouldn't have taken that land to begin with. So in all those cases, then the same thing when an extra brother shows up. In all those cases, I mean, I was saying, therefore we have to start all over again, we have to start all over again with a new girdle. And in effect, basically what we're saying is that we consider them like Yoshim, but maybe not 100% like Yoshim, as Tosfos points out over there. You do have the point that in things d'oraisa ein breira, and you do have other areas in halacha where we consider them to be lekuchos. So the Ritva points out that when we're saying over here bottom machlokes, it might be in practice the halacha is like Rab, but for a different reason. Not because we consider them like Yoshim, but rather because, like Tosfos says over there in Gittin, maybe we consider like Lekuchos Vachrayus, and as a Lekeach Vachrayus is entitled to full compensation. And then the Meiri points out this particular case is an exception because, after all, listen, the fact is both of them did have the responsibility to pay off this debt, so we have to take that into consideration. Okay. So that's that then. So again, in all these cases, the halacha is batla machlokes. Whenever we have that there was a division of the Yerusha between the brothers, and then it turns out that something went wrong, then we're going to say that batla machlokes, and the brother who lo and the brothers who are losing out are entitled to restart the process all over again. In the case where the extra brother comes, then it means that they restart the process and they make a new girdle with three portions instead of two. In the case of here where it was taken away by Baal Choyv, or as the Rashbam says, where it was taken away because it was stolen or whatever, then we start with the remaining field that we have after the Baal Choyv or the Nigzel or whatever took it, and we start all over again and make a new girdle. Okay. New topic. Turn it up on him. Shloisha shiyodu loshum. If we talked about yesterday where you would have a basin of three that would be involved in evaluating the value of a property in order, for example, that Ashbam had said, let's say we need for mozen or ishavah bonus, whereas we said, for example, you have the guy passed away, his almana needs mezonos until she's ready to collect oksuba, and the daughters also need parnosa and mezonos and everything until they're of marriageable age. We're going to learn the details of that as far as the maintenance of the daughters. We're going to talk about that a lot in the ninth parak of our Masechta about a month from now, Be'ez Hashem. Anyway. So shloisha shiyodu loshum. So if a basin of three went to go and evaluate the value of a property. So again, you could have, like the Rashbam is saying that we're talking about, where it's from Mozen or Ishavah Bonos, the Ritva points out that really actually it could just as well be as far as to pay off a Ksuba or to pay off a Baal Choyv or whatever. Anyway, now, Echad Omer B'mona, suppose that of the three members of the Beis Din, and as we learned yesterday, it doesn't have to be a Beis Din of Smuchin or anything, it can even be a Beis Din of Hedyotis, of simple Jews, as long as they're familiar with how to evaluate property and figure out the value of it. Anyway, so Echad Omer B'mona, suppose one of them says that the property is worth a mona, which is 100 zuz, or Shnaim Omer B'masayim, and the other two say that it's worth 200 zuz, or Echad Omer B'masayim, or Shnaim Omer B'mona, or the other way around, one says it's worth 200 and the other says 100. Either way, Boto Yochid B'miyotoy, the Yochid is Boto because he's the minority, and we know, as the Torah says, Achirab M'lahatis. So in that case, we would say that it goes according to whatever the two of them said. What about if each of them says a different amount? Echad Omer B'mona, the Echad Omer B'esrim, the Echad Omer B'shloshim. What if one of them says a mona? Now, a mona is 100 zuz, and zuzim, they're also known as dinarim, there are four of them to the seller. So therefore, a mona, which is 100 zuz, can also be expressed as 25 sloim. So now, one of them says it was worth 100, which is 100 mana, 100 zuz, which is 25 sela. One of them says it's worth only 20 sela, which would be 80 zuz. And the other one says it's worth 30, which would be 120 zuz. So you have three opinions, 80, 100, and 120.
Must be Jewish.
It must be Jewish, yeah. So then how do we decide? Now again, if you had two of them said 80 and one of them said 100, then we'd say Achor Adam Lahatis. But because now we have three different opinions, so what do we do? Nidon b'mana. So the Tanakhama says then that you go according to the mana, which is the middle value. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadik, so the Rashbam points out that actually it would really be the same thing even if the middle one wasn't. The Rashbam learns you would always go according to even if the third one had said what if they had said respectively 20, 25, and 28. So the Rashbam says that we would still say we go according to 25 because he's the middle of the three values. In other words, when you have a bunch of mathematical values and you want to figure out the middle one, there's different ways of doing it. You can figure out the average, which is you take the average, also known as the mean, which is you take the numbers and you divide them by the total number of numbers that you have. So if we were to do that in this case, for example, 20 plus 25 plus 28 and divide by 3, then it would come out to less than 25. So the Rashbam says it doesn't matter. The 25 is what we call in English the median value, meaning you put the numbers in order, and 25 is the middle one of the three opinions that we have over here. So you go according to that. On the other hand, the Rambam learns, or Gemara, to be saying that you need the mean, you need the average. So therefore, according to him, if it was 20, 25, and 28, we wouldn't say 25, we would say 24 or so, because that would be the average of the three values. So in other words, basically the Rashbam and the Rambam are arguing about when you have this kind of thing, where we're saying, according to the Tanakhama over here, that we have to take the middle ground between them. Do we mean that we take the mean, which is the mean, also known as the average, or do we take the median? In statistics classes, you'll have a lot of that kind of thing. A lot of times there can be a difference. Think of, for example, imagine you have ten people are in a room, and then Bill Gates walks in, you know, if you're going to figure out their net worth, if you're going to figure out their average net worth, you know, you're going to say that the average of their net worth is a million because Bill Gates has a zillion, you know, there. That's the average is not really a very good, measure there. The median would be a much better measure. Put all the numbers in order and take the middle one in the list. So the same way that Rashbam and Rambam are arguing over here, which one do you take? The average by taking all the numbers and dividing them, or just taking the middle value, which is what the Rashbam is saying. Anyway, so the Tanakhama says you do that. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik Omer, rather, betishin. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik says that you do 90. Namely, in other words, basically what Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik is saying is you look at the two lower values. You say that the two lower values, the Gemara is going to explain why we would do that. But according to him, in other words, again, you had in the scenario the Gemara is mentioning, one had said 80 zuz, one had said 100, one had said 120. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik is saying you take the lower two values, 80 and 100, and take the average between them, which is going to be 90. We have to figure out the spread of the difference between one of them and the next one, or mishalshin, and then we have to divide it, in three. So in other words, what we do is like this. We say, in this case, for example, so we have the lowest one had said 80, the highest one had said 120. That makes a difference of 40 zuz. So that means, in other words, the difference of 40 zuz, we divide that by three. Say achayim. We take that 40 and divide it by three. That gives us 13 and a third. Therefore, we add that 13 and a third to the lowest estimate, and we come out with 93 and a third. So we have three different opinions among the Tanaim over here. We have the Tanakhama says,
why 90 plus 13 and a quarter, right?
No. So what we're saying is, according to achayim, we take the lowest value, which is 80. We had 80, 100, and 120.
That's right.
Then we add 13 and a third to that, which is one third of the spread of 40, and therefore we got 93 and a third. As the Gemara is going to explain on our days, the reason for their, the reason for all their respective svaras. So manda omen nidin b'mona. So the Tanakama, who says that we go according to the mona, that we say 100 zuz, he says milsa mitziasa, because you take the middle, you take the middle thing, in other words, because again, there, you have, one had said 80, one had said 100, and one had said 120. So 100 is the median value. It's the, when you list them in order, then it's the middle value. Again, according to the Rashbam, the same thing would be, even if we're, the same thing would be, if one of them had said 80, one of them had said 100, and the other one had said 110, or actually the Rashbam says he had said 28 stela, which would be 112 zuz, whatever, same thing. The Rashbam says it doesn't matter because you always look at the median value. Whereas again, according to the Rambam, if it was 80, 100, and 112, then it would come out the we would look at the average, which would be a little less, which would be less than 100 in that case. Anyway, that's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Lazar ben Tzadik Omer Nidin B'Tishim, when Rabbi Lazar ben Tzadik says that we go according, that we say 90, Kosovar, his svara is as follows. Ha ha'ara. Basically this land is worth about 90, which would be in terms of sloyim would be 22 and a half sloyim. The high dekama estrim. So the one who says that it's 20 sloyim, which is 80 zuz, dekatoi asara la'achore. What it is he made a mistake of 10. He should have said 90 and instead he said 80. So he was off by 10 zuz. Comparing the two smaller ones, right. Bahai the common mona, and the one who says a mona, katoi asara la kame. And the one who says 100, he overvalued it by 10. But in other words, basically, the Balazim of Tzadik is saying, you have to look at the two lowest values, and you say, you find the average between them, and you say that it means that, that each one of them made a mistake in that little amount. Because in other words, the Rashbam explains, in other words, as a tafasta merubah lo tafasta, tafasta more tafasta. So therefore, so we have to look at the two lower values and say that those are more likely to be closer to what the land is actually worth. One of them says 80 and one of them says 100. Fine, each one made a mistake by 10. You take the average between the two of them. So the Gemara asks, Adrabahai Aramirva Sara Shavya. But on the other hand, you could argue the other way around. Maybe the land is intrinsically worth 110, and we look at the two higher ones, Bahai Dakama Mona Katoya Sora Lakhori, Bahai Dakama Shloshim Katoya Sora Lakamei. You could say that the same way, you take 100 versus 120 and take the average between them and say then that the intrinsically the field should be worth 110. Why don't we take the average between the two of them according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik? And the answer is, you do have to, it's better for us to consider the first two. It's true. We could say we make an average between the lower two or between the higher two. Really, what we should do is we should go according to the lower two. Neither one is saying that it's worth more than a mona. So in other words, all of them agree basically that it's worth close to a money, it's worth close to 100, but it hasn't quite reached the threshold of 100 yet. So again, tafasta merubalei tafasta. So therefore, so one of them says it's worth a mona, which is 100. The other one says less than that. The one who says it's worth more than the mona, he's like beyond the extreme. The two of them are saying that it's worth a mona.
That's why you go to the lower.
And that's why he says you go to the lower two. Tafasta, the most we can say is that this property is worth a mona. So therefore, we have to ignore the one who says it's over a mona, says Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, and therefore we're going to only take the lower two values into consideration.
And we're saying the word mona because that's the
highest. A mona is a hundred zuz.
Right, so we're saying yeah. Mona because that's what they were.
Because a mona, in other words, we're saying all of them are agreeing it's a round mona, but a mona is like a nice round number. It's more likely. We can talk, if we're talking about the value of a field, it's more likely that's going to be a threshold. It's more likely that's going to be a threshold where the first two of them are agreeing it's worth somewhere around a mona, but definitely not more than that. So therefore, so we go with that. Whereas the third one is saying it's worth even more than a mona. So yeah. So and tafasta more tafasta. Okay, so that explains Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik's opinion. Then we said Achirim Omrim Osin Benayim Osin Shuma Benayim Mashalshin. What about Achirim who are saying that we figure out the spread between the highest and the lowest values and we divide it in three, which as we said means that we come out then with a value of 93 1/3 in our scenario. So how is that? In other words, Kasavri Achirim, which usually means Rabbi Meir, holds exactly that. High aratishin loss of a tilt of shavya. Essentially, this land should be worth 93 1/3. High dekama estrim katoy place of a tilt of lachare. So the one who says 20 sloyim, which is 80 zuz, is making a mistake and undervaluing it by 13 1/3. High dekama mana katoy place of a tilt of lachame, and the one who says it's 100 is a. The one who says it's a hundred is making a mistake and overvaluing it also by 13 1/3. In other words, that one is thinking to himself, really, if I had my way on it, I would value this property at only 86 2/3. I'm saying 100. I'm not going to say Ladin Hudalema Tfei. Really, in other words, he could have said if he's making a mistake by 13 1/3. So no, what it is actually the I said it wrong. Achirim are saying like this. The amount they could make a mistake, given that we see that one of the members said 120, we can't ignore him completely like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik is doing. So we do have to take him into consideration. But what we take him into consideration is to say, what's the likely margin of error over here? So now what we're going to say is, the one who's basically the land should be worth 93 1/3. And that's the final amount that we're going to come out with. The one who said 80 means he undervalued it by 13 1/3. Where would we get that he can undervalue it by as much as 13 1/3? Because we have the other one who said 120, and we divide the 40, the difference between 80 and 120, by 3. But now what we're going to say is the one who says 100 is also undervaluing it by as much as 13 1/3. In that case, why is he saying 100? If the property is really worth 93 1/3, he should be saying, instead of saying 100, he should be saying 106 2/3. Where is he getting 100 from? Over Dino Delay Matfe, really he would have said 106 2/3. Behind Delay Kalmar, the reason why he doesn't say such a large number, Sava, he thinks to himself, Mistai de Kamatfina Kulahaya Havroi. It's really enough, in other words, that I'm saying that he said 80 and I'm going to say 100. That's already a large spread in itself. I think it would seem exaggerated for me to say even more than that, to say 106 and change. So in other words, really though, Achirim hold, essentially we could say he would have said 106 if it hadn't been for that consideration, and therefore we do have to take the average between them and go accordingly. Now, the Rashbam points out, obviously it doesn't mean necessarily the one who said 80 didn't necessarily speak up first. But the fact is, they are discussing it between them. It's not just like they pull numbers out of a hat, after all. They are discussing it between themselves, and each one knows what the other one is leaning towards. So now, again, the one who says 100 is going to think to himself, I don't really want to sound like I'm going so exaggeratedly beyond the one who said only 80. One of them is saying lower, one of them is saying 80. But he's saying, fine, I don't think it's worth as little as 80, but I'm also not going to go so far beyond us to say 106. I'll stop at 100. So the Gemara asks again, Abdabo, yeah, but couldn't you argue the other way around as well? Maybe essentially the land is worth 113 1/3. And we look at the higher two, the one who said 100 undervalued it by 13 1/3. The one who says 30 sela, which is 120 zuz, is overvaluing it by 13 1/3. And again, you could say and really he should have said then 126 and change. And again, he thinks to himself, that it's enough for me to say 120. I shouldn't really go beyond that because that would seem very much exaggerated compared to my friends. So why don't we say that? And again, the answer is Nekot Miatre Kamori Biyodcha. Again, based on the principle of Tafasta more Tafasta, you have to look at the lower two, the Mitardas Mea, Le Matkile. Neither of them, after all, is mentioning a figure over 100. Fine, the one who says 100 may have thought to himself it should really be 106 and change, but he only expressed 100. So therefore, so again, the two of them are at that threshold, or up to, or at that threshold, and therefore we should stop there and say, and then, and look at those two values.
Is 100 an official number?
100 is an official number, but also, in other words, the point is Tafasta Merubo Lo Tafasta, Tafasta more Tafasta. You want to say it's worth more than that when, after all, two out of the three of them agree that it's below, that it's below 100, then you can't really, you don't really have a basis to say that it should be, that should be any more than that, right? When the Rashbam mentions the point that that typically the ones who it is true usually that the ones who say Tosfos rather points out that the Seder is now the Rashbam had said it doesn't really matter the order in which they had said they're still discussing it among with each other and they know what each other is thinking, they know what each other is leaning towards. Tosfos says on the other hand the fact is usually when you have something like that the ones who are giving the lower values are usually going to tend to speak up first. So therefore, so Marsha uses that to explain also, why don't we say, for example, that, why don't we say, maybe the land is intrinsically worth 106 and change, and then therefore, the one who says 120 is overvaluing it by 13, and the one who is undervaluing it says 100, and again, by rights, then he would say that it's even less, by rights, he would say it would be 93 and change, and he's afraid to go too far away from the one who said 120, the reason why, the Gemara doesn't do that. Tosfos' explanation helps explain it very nicely because the ones who say the lower value tend to speak up first. Therefore, by the time the one with 100 gives his opinion,
he knows already,
like the Rambam says, he knows already, but he hasn't yet heard even the one who says 120. And for the same reason we also wouldn't say that intrinsically it's worth 86 and say that the one who says 100 overvalued by 13 and the one who says 80 undervalued and said, yeah, really I would go even lower, really I would say 70 and some, but I'm afraid to go too low, again, because as Tosfos says, the ones who say the lower values tend to speak up first. So, who is the halacha like? Omer Rav Huna, halacha ka'achirim. So Rav Huna says the halacha is like the achirim. So in this case, in other words, we would say the final estimated value is 93 and a third. Rav Ashi says, how could you say that? Time of the achirim lo yadinan. We don't even really understand thoroughly the reason of the achirim. Yes, we gave the svara that we take the spread and we divide it in three, and we say one of them is afraid to say too much different than the other one, but Rav Ashi considers that a weak svara, yeah. So I don't even understand the svara behind their reason. Hilchzab didn't kavasayu, and you're telling me we should paskin like them? No, the halacha should be, like says Rav Ashi, like the Tanakama, that we go according to the middle value, whether the median value like the Rashbam or the mean value according to Rambam. Well, the Gemara continues. Tonu Dayone Goyla, the Dayone Goyla taught a Breiser. Hagoyes Habach has a different gives a Dayone Goyla Amri. The Dayone Goyla say, who are the Dayone Goyla? The Rashbam identifies based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin. They are Shmuel and Karna. So Shmuel, we know, was an expert in Dine Mominus. Karna, we also had earlier in our Masechta, was a chaver of theirs who was also an expert, who was also specialized in Dine Mominus. So they're called Dayone Goyla. Goyla means Bavel in general. Specifically, it means the Jewish community in Nahada, which in those times was the center of Jewish life in Bavel. Shmuel was the Rosh Hashiva there, and Kauna also lived there.
Goyla
means more generally the whole Golos that Jewish people live in, but more specifically, it meant the Jewish community of Bavel, which was the center of Jewish life outside Eretz Yisrael in those days, and more specifically, within Bavel itself, Goyla means Nahada, and later on, after Nahada was destroyed, it meant Pumbedissa. So, in other words, think of it in modern terms. For example, you could use Goyla to mean the United States, which has the largest concentration of Jews outside Israel, or outside Eretz Yisrael, or you could say, specifically, Goyla would be New York, the greater New York area, which is the center of Jewish life in this country. Anyway. So therefore, Shmuel, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Nahada, and Kauna, who also lived there, are called Dayone Goyla, because they were Dayonim in that city. Anyway, they say Oisin Shuma Benein and Mashalshin. They also hold like a Achayrim that we figure out the spread between the three values and we take the average between them. And again, Amar Rav Huna Hochsa Kadayane Gola, and Rav Huna is saying the halacha is like the Dayane Gola, which means like Achayrim. Now, why is he repeating himself? The Rashbam points out he's not repeating himself. This is one of those things. The Gemara calls Chodem Miklal Chavrta Itmar. Rav Huna said one thing, and his Talmidim deduced from it another point. So in other words, Rav Huna had said, for example, that the Halacha is like the Achayrim. Now, when the Talmidim heard that Dayanei Gola had said the same thing, then they said, oh, well, then we can also restate what Rav Huna is saying to say that the Halacha is like Dayanei Gola. So not that Rav Huna himself made both statements. Anyway. So, and again, Omer Ravashi timed the Dayanei Gola Loyad Inan Hilchsat Avdinin Havasayu. And again, Ravashi says the same thing. We don't even thoroughly understand the Svara of the Dayanei Gola, because the Svara we said before is very difficult to understand. How could we say the halacha is like them? And again, therefore, he says the halacha should be like the Tanakhama. In fact, Tosfos points out, on the face of it, when we discuss the opinion of Achayim, when the Gemara brought up the possibility that maybe the land is actually worth 113 and change, and we're saying the one who says 120 is afraid to go too much higher than the other ones, so what would be the logic? If we had only two of them, one saying 100, and the other saying 120, then we'd say it's 110. Now you're going to tell me, because you have another one who says 80, then therefore you're going to make it even higher and say that the possible potential value of it would have been 113. So there's not even really a svara. So Tosfos says there's not even really a svara to say that, which is another reason to say it's very difficult to understand. Says Rav Ashi, very difficult to understand the svara of Achayim and of Dayanei Gola, because it doesn't really, so the Ramban at least answers that answer of Tosfos. The fact is, with two people. Anyway, first of all, you can't really divide, you can't really do anything based on two people. So yes, it is true that the third one, even though, yeah, you're saying he gives a lower value and that causes the value to go higher, fine, but the fact is, without him, you wouldn't even have a division, you wouldn't even have an evaluation here in the first place, and therefore, so there is a certain logic to it, but nevertheless, as the Gemara is saying, Rav Ashi is saying that it's very, very difficult to understand and to accept that svara, and therefore we can't really say, like Rav Huna is saying, the halacha should be like Achayrim, or like Shmuel and Tarnow are saying that the halacha should be like that. Rather, we have to follow the Tanakhama, and therefore that we would say, and therefore we would say that we go according to the middle value. Whether again, according to the Rambam, that would mean the average between the three amounts, and according to the mean, and according to the Rashbam, it would mean the median between them. Meaning, we put the three numbers in a row, and we take the middle number between them.
Just small difference.
So again, if you have the scenario in the Gemara over here where one said 80, one said 100, and one said 120, then there's no nafkamina in halacha then in that case between the Rashbam and the Rambam. Either way, it would be 100. But for example, to take the Rashbam scenario, if one of them had said 80, one had said 100, one had said 112, then according to the Rashbam, we would still say 100. According to the Rambam, we would take those three values and add them together. You end up with 292. Divide that by three, and you can divide that by three.
The middle one.
And you come out with about 90, and you come out with about 97 and change. So according to the Rambam, then that would be the final value that we would come up with.
But the halacha is not, we not know.
So the halacha is not like Achayim, that's what we're saying. The halacha is like the Tanakhama, that we take the middle value. What we mean by the middle value itself is subject to a machlokas of the Rashbam and the Rambam.